Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we hear the sound of you calling us together this morning. We hear the sound, it's in the frequency in the air saying, come and gather together and hear what I have for you today. And so we come with attentive hearts. We come ready to receive. We come eager, Lord, not to worship you and to receive from you. May you be honored by our hearts of eagerness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. You can be seated for just a minute. I'm going to read. The Lord gave me some scripture to read this morning. And as we were coming this morning and just praying in tongues and welcoming Holy Spirit, one of the things as we were driving along, he said, turn off your phone. I thought, I don't like to think of things like that when I'm praying in that. But the Lord said, that's exactly why I'm telling you, turn off your phone. In other words, today is the day not to be distracted. Today is the day to show him by all our ways of setting aside things that we're attentive. And then he said to read the beginning of Philippians in chapter 1. Says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. And I believe when he said, this is a letter to all the saints in Philippi, it means this is a letter to all. This is a letter to us, so hear it as a word from the Lord. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, get that again, all. There's such a sense of all of us together. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, and he says, I am confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work at our salvation and long before, he began a work in us and God is continuing it. To know that while we're here, we're gathered together, and those of you who are online who are connecting, and do please get rid of all the distractions. It's harder when you're online. But to all of us, he's saying, the Lord began something and he's going to bring it to completion. In other words, it wasn't complete at the moment we stepped into God's plan for us and stepped into his plan of salvation. It wasn't complete, but God is working to complete it. So even this day, as we're worshiping, even this day as we're hearing the word, know that God is doing a work in us. In other words, he's having effect in us. He's bringing about something in us. So are we willing? Are we eager? Are we receptive to what God is doing? I'd like Prophet Susie to come forward because she was hearing something the Lord was telling us, something that she's going to prophesy into us so that we are ready.
Now stand up. Because this is an energetic word, and I'm going to give you just a little bit of backstory, and then I'm just going to prophesy out of this. I was down here praying, and I heard the Lord say, open wide. And if you've been here a long time, that you've heard the Lord say deeper, and then he would say deeper still. Well, the Lord was saying, wider still. So this is what I hear the Lord say. Harvest Christian Church, you have opened your heart wide, and even as you have opened it wide, I say wider still, for I have much that I want to pour into you, much that I want to give you. You have been receivers of my word and receivers of my Holy Spirit. So I say today I have a portion, so open wide and open wider still and receive the fullness of what I am releasing from heaven. For I am releasing my righteousness and I am releasing my truth and I am causing my fruit to rise up in you and to spring forth and to spring forth into the earth, for you are my testimony and you are a demonstration of my love and my goodness.
Amen. Let's just stir up the spirit in our hearts to make us even more able. Yes, Gloria a Holy Spirit, we just stand before you and welcome. Welcome that work. We open ourselves up. We do what we can do, but we expect, Holy Spirit, you are doing more in us so that Jesus is glorified in this place and in our lives today.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavens. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none ring truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing. Tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns. All the powers of darkness and all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. saw God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns,
he reigns.
Amen. Woo!
He reigns.
Jesus, you reign.
You reign.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you've got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you can satisfy. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. The blood, healing in your hands, started flowing when you said it is done. Everything it is enough. I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. Keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Jesus, Jesus, who you are is enough. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. Again, oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Trust in you, Jesus. 'Cause there's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done.
Jesus,
Jesus, who you are is enough. There's honey in the rock,
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Again.
There's honey in the rock. 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 Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, the sweetest name.
Cause there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. You're our refuge, you're our hiding place. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. It's your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is. Your good. here. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Daily overcome by your presence. Fix our eyes on you, O Holy Spirit. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be doing, where you're moving, where you're leading, Holy God. You have all my attention. No, I'm not gonna miss when you're speaking, who you're reaching, who you're healing, Holy God. You have all my attention. There's a holy expectation for what you're about to do. Full of awe and adoration, we wait for you. We wait for you. We're a people on the altar. Offer you will use. Would you breathe on this surrender? We're here for you. We're here for you. We're here for you. We're here for you. Apart from more of you. Ooh. that we'd be known for who we worship. We live for you. We live for you. Start it again. Let this be a generation set apart for more of you. More, more, more. That we'd be known for who we worship. We live for you. We live for you. We live for you. We live for you. Come now, Spirit of God, stir in our hearts, light up revival. Oh, Spirit, come have your way. Rain down, heavenly flame, here in this place, unleash your power.
Heaven and earth.
angels sing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory.
Hallelujah. Just lift your hands this morning. And as we say, holy, 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 we're joining in with the angels around the throne and those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we thank You, Father, for this power of unity and agreement that comes when we worship You in spirit and in truth. Thank You, Father, around Your throne and here on earth as it is in heaven. We're singing, holy, 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 holy. Holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Holy are You. Holy, 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 holy. Holy are You. And You alone are worthy of all of our praise, all of our worship, all of our adoration. Everything in us worships You in spirit and in truth. We thank You. Begin to thank Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. So begin to offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Begin to let Him inhabit, dwell not only with you, but in you now as you worship Him, as you praise Him, as you give Him glory and blessing and honor and all worship. Everything in us worships You in spirit and in truth. Everything in us gives honor and glory unto the King of glory, unto You, Jesus. You are the King of glory. You are high and lifted up. And we lift You up this morning. We lift You high, Jesus. You are King of glory. And we worship You and bless You. We bless You, Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we're to worship Him as we sing with our understanding and sing with our spirit. I don't know about you, but I can only sing so long with my understanding. I run out of words, and it gets repetitive. But you know, when you sing with your spirit, something kicks in. Whoo! You enter into a dimension of worship, of worshiping Him in spirit and truth. And it says in John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, there's coming a time, and now is the time, for those that worship Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So we just thank You, Jesus. Lift your hands one more time and thank Him. We thank You. We bless You. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank You, worship team. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, welcome. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want you to hang on to a couple things this morning because I'm just undone with the worship and the opening with just everything, how Holy Spirit coordinates it. And we don't coordinate it, you know. We don't sit down, you know, this week and say, okay, what are you doing? Okay, you do this, you do this. And that's not how it works. People think we do that, but I don't talk to Amy about the worship songs, or she brought in Michelle today, and I haven't talked to them. I haven't talked to really, the only one I've talked to is Apostle Linda. So I'll admit I did talk to her, and then Prophet Susie, and you know, they came and shared, and then the songs we sang, it was just Holy Spirit's orchestrating something. And I always look for that confirmation when I bring the word in the morning. Lots of times, you know, the worship and the prophetic, they change what I'm the direction I'm going, or it confirms and gives me just excitement. So I want to get into the word this morning, but a couple things we need to do. We welcome, it's good to see some people from out of town, and it's always good to have Amanda back in town. When she comes back in, this is her church, and she comes in from New Jersey, and I didn't hear any accent on her yet, and so it's good to have her. And I know we have some other members. Good to see Paul here with Dolly, and the good reports of healing for him, and all the cancer cells are gone, and we just rejoice with Dolly and Paul, and I mean that's a miracle, amen. And then we have some other guests that were invited in. It's good to have Mark with us, and Jofi's friend here sitting next to her, Mark from Chicago. So we welcome you, Mark, and there, Pastor Mark. I'm sorry, Pastor Mark from Chicago, and so or in that area down there. And so we'll hear more from them. It's good to see some of the other visitors here, and God's doing something. How many of you are first-time visitors? I know we got several here. There's several. We welcome you. If you'll fill out the card in the front book, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're welcome here, and just make yourself comfortable, and wow. It's good to have the Boland family here from Flint, and so, I mean, you know, God's doing something. And you're going to hear that this morning. I can't wait to get in the message, but a couple things we need to do. The Spirit of God told us that August was the month of Holy Spirit. So last week, if you didn't get a chance to listen last week's message, and I'm getting good reports, those that weren't here who listened to it, those that were here were just encouraging, but listen to last week's message at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's really the foundation that Paul sets things in order on Holy Spirit. And then Wednesday, if you weren't here, we just kind of blew in, blew up, and blew out, just giving you just the Bible full of Holy Spirit and what God is saying about Holy Spirit. And I'll put some things out on a message for you to give you all those times that Holy Spirit is mentioned. I couldn't go that fast again if I wanted to. And to do it twice, it was just unbelievable. But there were 96 times that Holy Spirit, he's mentioned as Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, 28, 26. And then it starts to give you the whole list of times that Holy Spirit's mentioned in there. And so we're living in an hour of demonstration of the power in Holy Spirit. And the scripture, our text has been for Wednesday, and this coming Wednesday has been 2 Corinthians 3, 18, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And another translation says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. So we're learning Jesus, just before he went to the cross, emphasized in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and then went into 17 with his prayer before he went to the cross. The night before, he taught and introduced them to the Helper. The Helper that he was sending was one just like him, not different, but just like him. And he's sending him to not only be with us, to be in us. And he would show us all things, teach us all things, and show us things to come. And so you can pick up that. We thank the tech team for getting it online. We got both. You can go on our Facebook and see the message from Wednesday, and you can also go on our website and see in resources, pull down the audio and hear Wednesday, and just get you fired up for this coming Wednesday. Apostle Linda's going to come and teach on. We taught on the person of Holy Spirit last week, and this week we're going to go into a depth of the work of Holy Spirit. And so just come expecting God's moving. We're hearing a lot of teaching on Holy Spirit, and so God is emphasizing that because he's not only with us, he's in us. And he's the third person of the Godhead. Holy Spirit is the only person of the Godhead that is here on the earth right now. Jesus and God the Father are in heaven. But God, Holy Spirit, is in the earth. And he's not just in the earth and everywhere, but he's in us. Amen. Not just with us, but in us. And so just keep plugging in. You can go online, listen to it if you can't be here, but we encourage you. So the whole month is Holy Spirit. It's to prepare us for what we're going into the fall. He's expanding. You heard the message this morning from Prophet Susie, the prophetic, is that he's enlarging us. We need to be enlarged, because what about ready to hit in the fall is nothing compared to the chaos that we're in right now. Amen. Ah, no. He's already preparing us. Before chaos breaks out, Holy Spirit always shows us things to come. And he's given us an ear to hear so that we can know what's coming ahead of time. So we're not caught off guard. We're not surprised. And so this morning we'll bring some more clarity on that. Let me say about the church picnic in 2 weeks and church in the park. Just be listening. We're putting some logistics together. There might be some alterations of the church in the park, but the picnic will definitely be on. So you can show up. It may be here in house. We just got a lot of technical things moving around and people out of town and things, and we want to make sure that all of you can participate. And so I won't give you all the logistics, but if you know having that, one of the logistics is bathrooms. Okay, I'll leave it there and you can I'll pray for us. So let's pray over the children and bless them on the team.
Next Sunday, we're going to bring them home to pray
yes.
before they start school.
Next Sunday, bring your children. They don't have to be just in high school, but we're going to pray over the children next week to send them back into this new school year. So we're also, I know we have Rachel goes back to University of Michigan, and we're going to be sending her back there. But we're going to be praying for those going back to school next week. So just bring your children, bring your grandchildren, you know, get a busload, bring children. Children need prayer, because they're going right into the center of the demonic in the school. So they need their minds renewed, and they need to be filled, and we need to send them in the schools. Amen. They have assignment, and we'd like to send them and send them with power and might. So bring all the children next week, and we'll be praying for them. Is that okay? Let's pray for them this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this team that Father's imparting the word and life into this young generation. We thank you for this generation that we're passing the mantle on to, that they might run, Father, and bring the fullness of Jesus in a greater measure into the earth. And so we thank you for the word that is renewing their minds at a young age. We thank you that they hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we thank you that there's no junior Holy Spirit. And so fill them with the Spirit of God, the word and the Spirit, Father, that they might, Father, accomplish their assignment in this next generation. We thank you that you have called them for such a time as this. I think of the Samuel generation, and I thank you this is a Samuel generation that, Father, you are releasing into the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I always get envious when they leave, because I know they're getting breakfast. They're getting pancakes. And they're being fed well. And but you know what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So yes, there is a natural feeding, but you get to get a spiritual feeding. So you can eat after. They have to eat before so that they can pay attention. So man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you're ready to hear the word this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the open heaven, that when Jesus prayed, the heavens were open. And when the heavens were open, they saw Holy Spirit ascending in the form of a dove. And they heard a voice from heaven of Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Father, we thank you we're living in a time of an open heaven.
Yes.
And you have given us a spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. So I thank you and pray that you open the eyes of our heart that we might see what you are doing, that we might hear what you are saying. We thank you that we partner with you, we're one with you, and together, Father, you are accomplishing your purpose in the earth. So we pray your kingdom come, your will be done, right here, right now, in this portion of your earth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Steve's going to try to follow with me. I gave him a list of what I'm going to do. I'm going to read, and I went through this to help you because you think, in Ezra, in the day when they were rebuilding the wall, they came out and they stood the whole day as they read the word. So I'm not going to ask you to stand, but you think this word is long, but it's only about 5 minutes. If I don't preach out of it. Now that's a key. But we're going to read the word because there's an impartation. I'm not speaking to your minds. I'm not trying to convince you of something. I'm speaking to your spirit. So the word that we're going to read is going to speak to your spirit. So I want you to listen. What the Word is saying and what the Spirit is saying through the Word as we go through the Scripture. I believe one of the key Scriptures, and I know it's key because I can't hardly turn in my Bible to get to this page anymore. It's been so used and taped up, and Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to listen in your spirit what the Spirit is saying to the body. We'll start in Ephesians 4, we'll go to Philippians, we'll go also to Colossians, and then we're going to go John 17. So I'll just give you a little bit of a cycle that we're going in, but I want you to listen what the Holy Spirit is saying through these scriptures. He's revealing something in the earth to his body, and we're the body here in the earth for right now. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who has descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And then in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then Colossians chapter 3, and starting with verse 10 or verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then I will make a comment reading John 17. I'll let you know this is the last prayer that Jesus did before he went into the garden and before he went to the cross. It's the longest recorded prayer that Jesus did while he was on the earth. And I'm just reading a portion of it. So I want to start reading with John chapter 17 and verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also might be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. Father, we pray right now that this word, Father, will take root in our hearts. This is the desire of Jesus for his church, that we might be one with him, even as he's one with the Father. And we pray, Father, that you're accomplishing that in the earth right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. This has never been accomplished ever in the earth, and it's only been accomplished in Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit. They're modeling this unity, and we need to understand that unity is not uniformity. It's not making everybody look the same and agree. But he says that this is going to happen before he comes back. So I want to talk about this morning, because in Ephesians, we'll go back to Ephesians 4. I don't know if you heard in all these scriptures, but the word one. Did you hear that? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and just walk through this for a few minutes. Pray that I can stay on track. I'm so wound up. I guess I hang on to the Paul starts off in verse 1, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord." I want you to notice that he's writing this from prison. He wrote Philippians, he wrote Galatians, he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote it from prison. But he's not talking about that he's in physical prisoner. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And because of that, you know, he can only write what he hears the Holy Spirit say. And all scripture is given by inspiration of Holy Spirit, or by inspiration. And so he says, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, employ you." And that word employ there means plea. And it means he's pleading with us right now as a church. The Holy Spirit's pleading with us right now. He's not giving you an option. It's not like going to a smorgasbord and you get to pick and choose what you want to do in this hour. He's pleading with you right now. What is on the heart and the mind of the Father? Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago before he went to the cross. It's never been accomplished, ever. But stay with me for a minute. "That you walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." We've been talking several weeks. All of us have the same calling first. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation precedes our personal calling. And so when we take on his calling, the ministry of reconciliation, then he begins to disperse the unique gifts that's in each one of us. And I'm going to give you a definition of unity in a minute, so hold on. And it says, "With all humility," verse 2, "and gentleness." Humility, I believe, starts with humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humility is humbling ourselves under a superior authority. And only God is superior, and only he is sovereign. So we humble ourselves, not just parts of ourselves. We humble ourselves completely. The songs we're singing this morning, the one about surrender, it's not surrender, I give you this part, and I'll take care of that part, Lord. And when I need your help, I'm going to call you to help me in my part. No, the surrender is that you surrender your whole life. He's not Lord over just one aspect of you. He's Lord over all. And so you confess Jesus as Lord, that means he's Lord. You've given him the sovereign right to come in and to usher your life. And he says that we all have one call on our life. It's the master call. That's what keeps us this unique one call, and it's the minister of reconciliation. We have the heart of God. Within that call, we have diversity. There is no unity without diversity. Did you hear this? That's what this whole message is. There is no unity if there's no diversity. Diversity does not mean that we all think the same thing, believe all the thing, or act the same way. Diversity means that we have common core values, kingdom values. We share those values, but we're diverse. You look around this room. In fact, the song that Michelle started off with, I thought it was a little strange. I saw just that every tongue and every tribe, but I didn't see the first part. It talked about Africa, and I thought, what's Africa got? And then it said what? It said Amazon, and then it says Asia. And then it says of every tribe, every tongue, and every people. Heaven is going to be filled with diversity. But it's going to be unified. Jesus is coming back for a people of all nations. It says, "My house shall be a house of prayer of all nations. That word nations there is ethnos. That means there's going to be great diversity in heaven. And on earth, he's getting us used to diversity, but staying in unity. We get to be humble and gentle when we hear some opinion that's not like what we agree. But if we have some common values, the kingdom values, and we have values, we won't compromise like Jesus and the cross. We don't compromise that. That there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. That's our common core values. Other opinions, how we baptize. Some sprinkle, some dip, some soak.
Some drown.
It's not baptism that saves you. It's those that believe in Jesus. Those that don't believe are already condemned. The baptism is just an outward evidence of an inward work. And we've let methodology divide us in the body of Christ. That's what it means to be humble and gentle. With patience. Whoa, there's a big one. With patience. Showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let me say a couple things about unity here before we go any further. It says tolerance. In other words, we permit others into our life. We indulge their opinions. We stand up for what we believe is truth. But we're able to, you know, the church has become so narrow, we can't hear someone else's opinion, even in the body of Christ. We can't fellowship them unless they do, you know, worship the way we do. Or we sing the songs we sing. Or, you know, just name it. Okay, so let me give you some definitions here. Unity. Unity is only possible when there's diversity. Unity without diversity is uniformity, and uniformity implies that everyone is alike, so there is no room for differences. Are you still with me? He says, being diligent. That word diligent is really interesting because the word diligent there means to be careful and work hard at this. You know, unity is not something easy. We have to work hard at it. We have to be humble. We have to be careful. And then it says to preserve. That word preserve means it's already done in the Spirit. What we have to do is preserve what Jesus is already praying. How do we preserve it? We don't allow division to come in. Now, I want to take just a little sidetrack. Go to Matthew 24. Because this is what's happening in this day and this hour. We need to understand the strategies of the enemy. He's got a mode of operation, and his mode of operation is to divide and conquer. And if we don't know what he's using to divide and conquer in the earth, not only here, I'll say it right now because it just came up. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible. I used to think that was invisible. I was telling Apostle Linda, I said, "Woo! It doesn't say invisible, it says indivisible. You can't divide it. That's what this nation was founded on. The flag stands for one nation, many people groups. So that's what we're pledging. What are they trying to take away? Our confession of who we are in this nation. Now, that's a whole different story. But let me give you this in Matthew 24. Jesus warns us of this, and you're hearing a lot of teaching on Matthew chapter 24 because it's the last days chapter. In chapter 24, and Jesus answered them and said, "See to it that no one misleads you." So before he talks about any of this, make sure you're not misled. The only way you're going to be misled is if you hide the word in your heart, renew your mind. You're going to have a spirit of discernment. Holy Spirit will give us discernment. When you hear certain things, you know right away. Other things, that's unclear. And so you need discernment. So don't be misled. And this is what he says. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But don't stop there. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but this is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. What are the wars? Nation will rise against nation. That word nation is ethnos. Almost every war in the world is an ethnic war. Are you following this? Almost every war. There's been more people killed in ethnic wars than just wars. Almost every war taking place is an ethnic war. So Jesus told us there will be wars and rumors of wars, but what are the wars about? It's ethnic. It's to divide us, to divide and conquer. So Jesus says, when you start to see these things arising, and almost every war, and you can go back and look in history, every war was an ethnic war. Most every war. I won't say every. So he says, so you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And verse 7, for nation or ethnos will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Now go to chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And any city or house divided against itself will not stand. Are you following? I'm going to give you the three areas that the enemy is using to divide. And it's very obvious in the natural. But Jesus already warned, when you start to see these battles, they're out to divide, because Jesus is praying for unity. So the enemy's strategy is it's out to divide. And if he divides, he can conquer. Don't let any house. And Jesus says, I'm building my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He says that my house shall be a house of prayer of all nations, all ethnic groups. My house will be a house, not when we get to heaven. Jesus prayed this unity would take place on earth before we get to heaven. This is a pre-warm-up. We get it right down here, he'll come back and it'll be right up there. Are you following this? Jesus is praying for the unity of the body of Christ. It hasn't been accomplished but one time in Jesus, when he was on the earth and the Father in heaven and with Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, ethnos, of all people groups, of every tongue, tribe, and people. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the government will rest on his shoulders. Verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. You want peace, you have to have government. Only complete government of God in your life will bring complete peace. We're not talking about this kind of peace. Walking around peace, you know. We're not talking about this. The increase of God's government will bring peace in your life. So the more God is governing your life, the more peace you have. If you're not at peace in a certain area of your life, better go back and see if God's government is working in your life. So Isaiah chapter 9 is still in play. It's still a prophetic word. So let's go to Galatians 3 and let me give you these three areas before we go back to Ephesians. These three areas. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. In Galatians, he starts to talk about the one new man. He's taken the Jew and the Greek. And together now, one new man that's never been existent. Jesus talks about when a man leaves his parents, he's joined to his wife and the two become one. Very different, but one. Do you get this? Diversity, but one. So in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, this is what Paul says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. The first war that brings division is an ethnic war. The first one, he said Jew and Greek. That's still going on. Anti-Semitism, you hear it. It's on the rise again and again and again. But there's also ethnic wars between all the Greeks or the Gentile nations. That's what the Greek means, also Gentiles. There is neither slave nor free man. That's talking about class. That's talking about economic differences. You notice what's being separated here? It's trying to divide what? Cultures and the haves and the have-nots. Isn't that right? I mean, it's so evident right now what's happening in the earth. And Jesus said, when you see these things. And then the last one he says, there's neither male nor female. Gender. Yeah. Oh, come on. Some of you ought to go, oh my gosh. The devil's tipped his hand too much. The three things that will divide, and he's using as a weapon in the earth right now, is ethnic, class, and gender. Church, we got to wake up. The war's right in front of us. And we cannot use these things to separate us and divide us. So he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Notice he's talking about diversity, but one. In Christ, we're all one. We're not male and female. He took the gender thing out of the equation. Wherever you see there's a gender division, it's to bring a gender difference, there's to bring division. Wherever there's class, the haves and the have-nots, the rich, the poor, wherever you see that, he's done away with that because in Christ Jesus, we're all on equal playing grounds. Aren't you glad? We're all one. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. So if you're in Christ, there's no division. And if you're in Christ, then you're an heir of Abraham's blessing. So part of staying in unity of faith is the blessing of Abraham. You want to claim the blessing of Abraham? Then stay in unity. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. So it says in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve or highly value the unity of the Spirit. Notice what he puts first, the unity of the Spirit. Church, we cannot break the unity of the Spirit. He sent Holy Spirit to bring unity, not division. And he sent, on the day of Pentecost, in that upper room, there were 120 people. There were male and female. And he didn't discriminate on who got filled with the Holy Spirit. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that was mind-boggling to the Jewish mindset. That divided them sitting over here and me sitting over there. We're one in Christ. The day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit broke all the walls of division. It says they were in one accord in one place. They were in unity, but diversity. There were male, females. They were young, there were old. So not only gender, but age gaps. Being diligent, making it a priority to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, and I love this. There is only one body, many members. There is one Spirit, many expressions of the Spirit. Just as you are also called in one hope. One hope. We all have one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given to according to the measure of Christ's gift. The power of one. If he can't break us from the outside, the enemy will break us from inside. That's what's happening right now in the not just America, but the body of Christ. There's more division right now in the body of Christ than almost any time in my lifetime anyway. Because we have allowed different behaviors, methodologies to separate us rather than unite us. Now, what is the purpose in verse that talks about the apostles, prophets? Verse 12 says this: the fivefold ministry is given for the equipping of saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain unity of the faith. So we're to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, but this is going to go on until we all reach unity of the faith. It says all. Doesn't mean just a remnant reaches it. It says when we all reach the unity of the faith. And it's diversity with unity. Then I love this. What's the results? And the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. I believe the evidence of being a mature man is when we see unity. The evidence in our lives is when we can tolerate the opinions of someone else that's a believer in Christ Jesus. We'll protect them because they're part of the body. We may not agree with them, but we'll protect them. They're a member. And without us connecting with them, we might be missing out a part what needs to make us stronger. Could that be? Could that be that what we think is different is what is unique? And so God's made us unique and different. Amen? But called us to be one. So the evidence of a mature man is that we're one. It says to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And how will you know that? As a result, there will no longer be children tossed to and here by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by Christ. See, the evidence of maturity is we're not caught up in everything we hear. Amen? But speaking the truth in love, we too are to grow up in all aspects. God's calling us right now as the body of Christ to come into maturity. And that means grow up in all aspects. And we need to grow up in this oneness that Jesus is calling. It's not something that you just got born again. Whew, we're here. In fact, you didn't even know there was diversity until you got born again. And then all of a sudden you think, whoa, there's differences. Drive down the street, you drive down Grand River, and I can look at it, all the denominations, the different churches all the way down. And instead of, you know, thinking, wow, you know, I used to kind of think, well, you know, I got it together. I'm praying for them to get it together. And the more I get into this, the more I don't have it together. And if I listen to others, they start to impart and start cause me to thinking different and expanding myself, not compromising my values or my kingdom beliefs. Does that make sense? I want to emphasize that. I'm not talking about compromise. I love this. But speaking the truth in love, we go to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is what it looks like. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. You can turn there because we're going to go there. He gave us the most practical thing that we can visually picture what this is like. Our bodies. And he says that when your individual part connects, that you know every joint in your body is not just one part. It has several parts that connect. And when you connect with the other parts, it feeds your part. But when you disconnect, it causes death, sickness, and pain. I believe a lot of sickness we have going on is because we've been disconnected from the body. I wasn't going to use this, but it just popped in my mind. Bill Johnson was sharing about when his wife was alive and someone gave him a lamb to take care of. And the lamb became a household pet. And he said that he didn't know that lambs have long tails. Well, I didn't know that. I thought, lambs don't have long tails. I see they have short tails. He says, but what they do is they take a rubber band and wrap it around the tail, and it kills the life, and eventually the tail falls off. So if you're not properly connected to the body, there's no life. And he says once it starts to die or it's dead, before it falls off, if you take the rubber band off, then the poison will flow into the body and kill the body. I wasn't going to share that, but it popped in. So give you an illustration of what he's talking about, ligaments and joints. Every joint is connected by other members. And so the more members you connect to, the healthier you're going to be. Amen. Is this good? As I was praying this morning, I believe this is why many are sick in the body. Because they're not properly connecting or not connected. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and lay all this out, because Paul does it. I love the word. He takes a part that all of us can identify with, and if you can't, just look at your body, because that's what we're going to talk about. Your natural body and the spiritual body. He says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice, variety, diversity of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. Woo! So man, if you're just hubbing around with those that have the same gift, you're missing a whole bunch of other gifts. And that's what happens in the body. We seem to look, I mean, I'm most attracted to those that think like me, look like me, believe like me. Don't we seem to gather? And it says there are varieties of gifts. So if you're only connecting with those that are like you, you're missing out on the variety of gifts. But it's the same Spirit. I don't know how he does that. I mean, every week people come up to me and say something before I preach. Holy Spirit showed me, and then I'll preach it. How can that happen, that we can be on the same page? Because it's the same Holy Spirit on the inside, but he's expressing it different through worship, through the prophetic, through the preaching of the word, through the many variety of gifts. But it's the same Holy Spirit. I love to listen to others because, well, this morning I got the message and I heard all week. I shared with Apostle Linda. I says, I believe the message for Sunday is one. The power of one. And you heard me preach on this before, the power of one. If you've been here, the power of one. I heard it all week. I said, am I sure this is what I'm to preach on? And so we were eating our, drinking our coffee. That's our breakfast that we eat on Sundays. We're drinking our coffee and just sitting there before I do the transition that I have to do from prayer time to getting ready. And I said, okay, I want to listen to a YouTube. And I haven't listened to it in a long time because I want to see what Jonathan David preached, if he preached, because he hasn't always been preaching. Sunday he preached and we're sitting there just listening to it. All of a sudden he says, the message I want to preach is the power of one. We looked at each other and we went, oh. We looked at each other and we said, how does Holy Spirit do that? Because in Malaysia, there's the same Holy Spirit. Oh. And the whole same Holy Spirit saying the same thing if we're listening. And he's saying something to someone else that maybe we're not listening, that we need to be listening. So this morning, you know, I was just thinking, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? And when I heard that, I said, okay, okay. It's like Holy Spirit says, how many times do I got to work this? Oh, do it again, because I'm in the flesh, you know. I'm in transition. So it says variety of gifts, but notice what says verse 5. And there are varieties of ministries. Oh, aren't you glad that everyone doesn't minister the word the way I do? There's a variety, but don't get stuck in just, oh, I like this certain one. There's a variety. I got my whole, you know, group that I like, but there's a variety. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. How does the Lord do that? And then verse 6, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. In other words, there's different methodologies, ministries, but there's also different manifestations. But it's the same God. So we need to learn how to appreciate the diversity and keep in unity at the same time. Isn't that good? In fact, you can't have unity without diversity. I'll say that, and you'll probably hear me say that more and more. Verse 7, after he says all that, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Ah, for the common good. For each one is given for the common good. For no one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Did you get that? Read it again. Even as the body is one. So look at your body. No matter what you look at, it's your body. Say, that's not my body. It's still your body. Amen? Even as the body is one and yet has many members. Aren't you glad you have a lot of members?
Yes, amen.
You know, this one is connected to this one here. When they work, it gives nourishment. But it's not my whole body. Not the only thing that's functioning every day. Okay, it's different than this, you know. You see the differences between this and this? That it's still part of my body. It's still one body. Everybody getting this? I mean, Jesus made, God made it so simple. In verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Aren't you glad for the diversity in the body? Aren't you glad for the diversity and the variety of gifts? Aren't you glad for the variety of ministries? I mean, without this lockdown and all this craziness, we wouldn't have known all the ministries that were out there. Now, YouTube is flooded. You get to see ministries you would never saw, ever. What the enemy thought he was doing to divide, God's using to bring together. The difficulty is that we need to be, he's got us where we're not assembling together. Well, that's another message, okay? There's two basic witnesses of Jesus' resurrection in the Bible. Two basic witnesses. One is the unity. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. And he says, the world will know when we're one with him. The world's not going to know Jesus without seeing unity in us. So a witness of Jesus' resurrection is that there's unity of the body and the earth. And when the world sees the unity of the body, then we're going to see the great harvest. The second witness of the resurrection of Jesus is miracles, signs, and wonders. But we won't see miracles, signs, and wonders without unity. In one of the scriptures we read, it says that we're to forgive as we have been forgiven. That takes humility. It's not holding anything against one another. Quickly resolve it. Because the enemy's out to kill, destroy, and steal. He's out to divide and conquer. Amen? The last days, he said this was going to be the sign. Let me give you a couple of other things, that testimonies of this I got from Bill Johnson also. One of them was, I shared it, I need to correct it because I shared it on Wednesday. It's kind of a testimony. I didn't get the whole story right. Remember the story about the Wesleys, John and Charles and Whitfield? Remember that testimony? Let me get that story right now that I listened to it again. Story of this, the show us unity. John Wesley and Charles Wesley were brothers. Charles wrote songs from John Wesley's messages. And so what God was saying through John Wesley, Charles would write songs. And Charles and John were contemporaries with John Whitfield. And John, or was it George or John? George. Maybe it was George. It was George. George Whitfield. And they preached together and they grew up together. But as they started ministry, there was division that happened in doctrine. And so they started to separate. And one of George Whitfield's associates came to George Whitfield and says, do you think we'll see John and Charles in heaven? And George turned and said, or he says, do you think we'll see him? He says, no. George says, we won't see him in heaven because they'll be so close to the throne that we won't be able to see him. Let that sink in. He wasn't going to let it divide them, even though there was differences of opinion, differences of style and ministry. George showed the sign of maturity when they asked him that question. And I loved how he answered. No, we won't see him because he'll be so close to the throne, we won't be able to see him. I mean, if there's tens of thousands and tens of thousands around the throne, you know, how are we to think I'm going to be the one right up next to the throne? Ooh, just a thought. I believe this is the message that right now this nation has to address. But it can only be addressed in the power of the Spirit. Keeping the unity of the Spirit is our primary call right now to see manifestations of glory. Amen. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So much more as we see the day approaching. We ought to be connecting more and more. The enemy wants to disconnect us. Because every joint and every ligament supplies life to the body. More, you want more life? Get more connected. Amen? Not just, you know, fellowship. We talked about fellowship last week. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit. We're not talking about just fellowship getting together, but we're talking about the exchange of life, sharing the Christ within you. There's a Christ within you. When I listen to stories, I'm amazed. When they sang that song, I started to chuckle this morning because I thought, okay, the Amazon, Africa, and Asia. I was trying to think, okay, what was missing? And Amazon, and just yesterday, I had another encounter with a Brazilian couple. And so when I saw the Amazon, I was chuckling. I thought, yeah, the unity is my house will be a house of prayer, not might. And you have been with me a long time now. If you're having trouble getting along with some ethnic group or some ethnic person, you better get it right, because at the banquet table, you're going to sit next to those that you didn't get along with down here. That's a funny way of putting it, but he's doing a work right now. Father, I thank you right now. There's something happening in our hearts. And Father, we thank you that Jesus prayed this prayer. Father, it must have been pretty important on his heart to pray it before he went to the garden and to the cross. And Father, I thank you that it's only been accomplished one time, the unity, and that's the Father and Jesus, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And now he's praying it and declaring it, and it's going to happen. And you're giving us the opportunity to partner with you and to be a part of this, to protect the unity of the faith, to protect our brothers and our sisters. And Father, we thank you that this unity is with great diversity. But it's not diversity to divide, it's diversity, Father, to bring strength and life more abundantly. So Father, I thank you, it's a choice. The Father, you said, be diligent, it's a choice. To preserve, it's a choice. It's already been declared. And now it's up to us to preserve, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Father, we thank you. We know the enemy's strategy is to divide and conquer. But you said that your house will be a house of prayer of all nations, all ethnic. We thank you, Father, the enemy uses not only ethnicity, but he uses gender and he uses class. And so, Father, as we search our hearts, you put us in a place where you're dealing with that, Father, that we're having trouble and struggling with. Diversity, maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's at school. But, Father, you put us in a place so that we can, Father, be a witness. Because with unity comes a witness to all nations. And we thank you, Father, all creation is groaning, waiting for, Father, for the revealing of the sons of God, for us to come into maturity. And the greatest sign of maturity, Father, is that we refuse to walk in offense. And so, Father, when offense comes, we have a choice. A choice to deal with it, to forgive, even as you have forgiven us. And this morning, Father, we thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. And you call upon the name of the Lord by believing in your heart that Jesus died for you, that your sins were placed with him and the sins of the world on the cross, that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Believe in your heart and confess Jesus. Declare, acknowledge, say the same things the Bible is saying, that God is saying, that Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in these last days. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Confess Jesus as Lord of your life. Then the Bible says that, is anyone thirsty, let him come. Let him drink. Let him be filled. And Jesus said, he was speaking of the Spirit of God. So when you receive Jesus, the Spirit comes into your heart for intimacy and relationship. But then he says, go and wait until you're endued with power. He wants to fill you with the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells, lives in you. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit so that you can finish his assignment that he has given to all of us as believers. So Father, we thank you this morning. You receive Holy Spirit the same way that you receive salvation, by faith, through grace. Let's pray this together. I love just going through this. So let's pray this as the body, as a declaration, a declaring right now in the face of the enemy. Say, Father, I boldly declare, and I boldly believe that everything within me, that you died for me, you were buried, and on the third day, you were raised from the dead, and you ascended into heaven, and you're seated at the right hand of Father. I believe you died for me. You forgave me of all my sins. And I confess now, and I declare you as Lord over my life. And I ask you now that you baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up just as you filled Jesus when he was baptized in water. Just lift your hands and thank him now that you're saved, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We welcome you now, Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth and show us things to come. Let's say this. Say, Father, I declare, I will protect the unity of the Spirit. Your body. And I will glorify you by being one with those in your body as Jesus is one with you, Father. I thank you for filling me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh. Well, you know the enemy's strategy now. You know how to shut it down. Amen? The Word of God and the Spirit. So we're going to dismiss, but stay tuned for announcement for where we're going to have the picnic. We will have the picnic, but where we have it, we're going to make a determination. If you need prayer this morning, if you're not sure of anything, or if you just need prayer, you're going through something, and everybody's going through something, but if you feel you need extra encouragement, prayer of agreement, amen? Sometimes we just need a little boost from someone to stand with us, encourage us. Or if you feel a little bit dry this morning, you think, man, you know, I'm kind of, this summer it's taken a lot out of me. I need to get filled. In the book of Acts, they got filled many times. In chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, it says when they were praying, the whole place was shaken and they were filled again. So, you know, best way I like, I don't like to use it, but I say it is, we all leak. In the world out there, when you hit the world, man, it's drawing everything out of you. But when I come back in here, I get charged up. You guys charge me. I get charged up being in worship together. There's something about what, you know, in fact, I was going to say this. Something about worship, that in worship, it unites us, that you're not thinking about offenses of others. Because your eyes are on Jesus. Something about the power of worship when you're there, you lay it all aside. Just be careful that when you go out, you don't pick it up again. Amen? Oh, gosh. So come on Wednesday nights. Man, we're going to have a good time. And altar teams can start moving up and we'll dismiss you and connect with two or three people on your way out. Introduce yourself. You don't know someone. Maybe, you know, here, take time to listen to people's stories. I love listening to stories. Because if I hear how they come to Christ, I get to hear a gift. Amen? I give you this story. I think I gave it, but this lady that, you know, I've been witnessing to a little bit, and she told me to tell the dog walkers. Remember I told you the story on the dog walkers? If you don't know that one. Where I live, there's a dog training facility that I run into them all the time on the street. And they have as many as 11 handlers, and each one has 4 dogs. And they're big dogs. They have Great Danes, and they have Rottweilers, and they have Shepherds, and they walk. Well, I met this lady and Sarah. We saw Sarah yesterday, and bless Sarah. Sarah said to say hi. By the way, we talked with Lauren and Joshua last night. They said, tell everybody we love them, we miss them. And so we'll tell you that. We had a Zoom meeting with them. But this woman I met in her walker where Sarah's at, and she says, basically, tell the dog walker. She thought I was a dog walker because I was walking my dog. I said, no, I'm not part of them. She says, tell those dog walkers that I'm proud of them and I love them. So if I see them, I will. Wouldn't you know, the very next day, they're coming right at me. And so I told them, and they all lit up. Well, I met this woman. Her name's Fran. And I said, I met her, and we were walking with her the other day. And I told her, I gave the message. I told them that you were proud of them and you loved them. And she turns to me and she says, young man, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Woo! You know, here I thought, you know, I'm sowing with her. I says, I do, now I know. We're on mission together. And so I told her that I gave the message. And would you know that we look up and the dogs were, walkers were right in front of us, coming toward us. And I said, this is her, you know, and they're all going like that. And she told him, I'm proud of you and I love you. Amen. People need, but connecting with Fran, I thought I was, and she inspired me. Amen. Young man, do you know the Jesus Christ is your Savior? And I went, if I didn't, I would have gotten saved then, but I says, no, I do. Thank you, thank you. So altar teams, come, and if you need prayer, just come. Bless someone else, talk to them. Share the love of God in you, the Christ in you, with someone else. It may be just what they come here for, or just a word of encouragement, or to see you. So share Christ in you, the hope of glory.